It's good to be here tonight, and I'm going to, as I said this morning in Sunday school, go a little bit farther in this study. There's 10 detours, and it took me a month to get through two. We'll get there. We'll get there, and I'm going to try to go through at least one, if not start another one tonight, and then at later times, we'll probably pick it up here and there. And again, we were talking about detours from this little book that Dr. Brock graciously allowed us to use, and he has some really good outlines in here and the way that he describes things, and in his many, many years of study. That's been helpful to me, and some detours that we can promote in our own children's lives, maybe without even understanding it. The first one, of course, was delayed discernment, and then this morning we talked about and finished up defiling bitterness, how I allow things to grow in my life and heart, situations and issues that I end up getting angry and bitter about, and it causes a bitter spirit to come in the lives of my children and detours them off of the path that God has for them. Well, tonight I want to start on the third one, which is called dishonorable deportment. Dishonorable deportment. And so I want to start with some verses that we all know. And this has to do, again, the what I want you to see in that phrase is the word honor, is the word honor. The word honor is mentioned in the commandments. It was Exodus chapter 20, if you remember the Ten Commandments. In verse number 12, honor thy father and mother. Remember, the first several commandments dealt with our relationship to God. And then there's commandments that have to do with our relationship to other people. And one that's of most importance to God is to honor your father and mother. And it's mentioned that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I kind of think about that phrase sometimes. And I don't know people's lives or situations, but I think that when people live rebelliously, many times they do things that end up really ending their life, maybe prematurely. We all know stories and things of that nature from history or different people that, you know, just lived wild and didn't really care about things and had a dishonorable attitude toward their parents and did not honor them or want to obey them. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to be harsh or judgmental. I'm just saying what God says. God says they won't live long. It's that simple. And honoring the authority, honoring your parents, obeying them, seeking to please them, and understanding your relationship with them, that's something that God promises long life for. Now, again, where does that honor stop? I think it's something that we should honor our parents for our entire lives. I know that as we get older and we have our own families and things, of course, we can do things differently or go different directions and things of that nature. But there's something about always honoring and taking care of your parents. You know, my dad is a funny guy. I don't know, he may be watching tonight, so sorry, Dad. He'll call at random times. It cracks my wife up. I he's just a funny guy. And sometimes I know he calls Todd. You can probably hear him, hey, Brother Todd. And he'll just talk for about 30 seconds, like, well, all right, I got to go. We'll see you. And then he just hangs the phone up. You're like, okay, Dad, that was cool. Thanks for the conversation. But it's funny. I enjoy talking to my dad. He called Jared the other day. And then after he called Jared, he called me. And we were even in the car together, but it was funny. And I enjoy talking to my dad. And I want to honor my dad. I love my dad and the things he's done for me. And if he ever has a problem or an issue of health or whatever, if I need to take care of him, I'm ready to. It doesn't bother me. I want to do that. And that's kind of, and some people have this, grow up with this mentality, and they just don't like their parents, don't want to care for them, and get all mad about them, and stay bitter and complaining and angry at mom and dad for the rest of them, taking it to the grave and all this stuff. I think we've got a problem in our society just in general with authority. And many times that comes out even against parents. So here, the Lord makes it a priority. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, and then, of course, the verses in Ephesians. I mean, that was some of the first Bible verses I ever learned as a kid. Of course, it was John 3:16. Then I remember learning Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I didn't like that much when I was a kid. It's like, mom got me again. She brought that Bible out and showed me, you know. I was like, man, mom's right again. But then the second verse, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. We just read that. There's a promise attached to honoring your parents, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And he goes on, Paul does, and says, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. I'm just saying from the things I can understand from the Bible, what I've seen in life in general, things don't go well with thee if you're a rebel. It's that simple. It doesn't go well with you. It's difficult. The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. And we can look back and see the situations in our lives where we've kind of tried to do our own thing and it just didn't work out too good for us. We basically made a mess out of things. When we take that rebel's pathway and think we want to do what we want to do, and we stop thinking about honor, then we get ourselves into trouble. So let's go into what honor means. It really means to show respect from someone, but for someone. But listen to this. In the Hebrew, it has the idea of to make something heavy. So that's kind of weird. But that was a practice of assigning value to different things. And so they could add more volume and therefore add more weight of the precious metal being paid for the item, making it heavier. So honor is a decision that I'm going to add weight or I'm going to add value to that person. So I put a greater worth on that person. Maybe I value that person's opinion. I value that person's thoughts. I value their actions, their attitudes. The Bible tells children to value the attitudes, words, thoughts, and opinions of the parents. So my question tonight, and the question that Dr. Brock is bringing out, am I making it in such a way in my life, in my deportment, in my attitudes, opinions, and so forth, and words and actions, am I making a pathway clear where my children easily see that they can honor that? Or is my life going in a different direction as a parent where I'm being dishonorable? I'm not giving them anything to value because I'm not doing what God has called me to do. Again, the purpose of this study is strictly the parental side. I mean, we can talk about the kids all the time and other kind of studies and things like that. But parents bear some responsibility for whether or not a child respects the parent. Now, that may be hard to swallow. But the parent bears some kind of, if we are not honoring God, and if we're acting dishonorably, which we're going to talk about, some examples of that from the Scripture. If we're dishonorable in our deportment, then, well, we're responsible then if our child acts dishonorably. If our child chooses, because I'm telling you, if we're dishonorable in our behavior, we are setting up our children for rebellion. Now, I know rebellion is a choice that they make. It can something that, but we kind of sometimes cultivate rebellion and we don't realize it. So it's of utmost importance that we're living an honorable life. Do our lives encourage respect, or do our lives as parents encourage disrespect? We'll talk about a variety of things. I mean, the Bible talks about provoking your children to wrath and all those things that we've touched on those things here and there. And it's difficult many times when we've seen a variety of situations, just even having kids in school and so forth. And sometimes I just get a little angry under my skin a little bit, or whatever the word is for that, when I see a parent just provoking their child to wrath. And then they wonder why they're acting out at school, and why are they this, and you just want to kind of grab them by the neck and slap them around a little bit and say, do you not realize what you're doing? You're living in such a way that you're cultivating disrespect in your children. And so if we're just living, doing what we want, just whatever kind of mentality, and we're being disrespectful, we're not honoring God, we're not living the life God's asked us to live, then what do we think is going to happen when our children see that? So do our lives encourage respect or disrespect? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 23. We're going to spend some time in several verses in Proverbs tonight. Proverbs chapter 23. Be turning there in your Bibles. Now, young children, they may not be able to fully comprehend or understand what honor means, but whether they realize it or not, they are revealing their attitude of honor through the way they obey. Obedience and honor go together. If a child is disobedient, the child is not honoring. The child is not placing value on the words of the parent. And so therefore, you see, it begins to go into dishonor, and then it goes into disrespect. And we'll touch on some of those things. Proverbs chapter 23, let's go to verse number 26. This is a verse that I think every parent should look at. Well, I look at I go back to verse 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. He that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad. And she that bare thee shall rejoice. Sometimes I wonder if my mom is rejoicing or not. I don't know. Now, there was an old joke that one of my Sunday school teachers used to say, because he was an older teacher. Well, he was a college ager. He was married, but he had a young sister. His parents had a child, you know, like years apart, and it just one of those fluke things. So he had this younger sister. So she was in the class too, and he was always harassing her as the teacher, which I don't know why you would do that as a brother. But he would always say, it's like my sister. When she was born, she was so ugly, they slapped my mom instead of her. And I always got a chuckle out of that, you know. I don't know where I was going with this. Oh, yeah, is my mom disappointed? He's like, why did you birth Adam Watt into the world? What is wrong with you? So I don't know. But I tell you what, there's a lot in the, I'm not trying to make light of it. But there's a lot of things in the Bible, and there's even verses in Proverbs that talk about when the child goes out and does what they want and lives disobediently and lives disrespectfully and is just whatever mentality, Bible says it's a grief to the mother. It's a sorrow to the mother. But if the children are living rightly, then the father and the mother are glad and they rejoice. And then verse 26, my son, give me thine heart. We say that a lot, but look at the next phrase. Let thine eyes observe my ways. Would we be comfortable with our children observing our ways? Or if they see our ways, ooh, maybe we're being a little dishonorable. Maybe we're opening the door for them to live disrespectfully because we're not following the Lord. So our ways have to align with God's ways. Now, you know, there's a variety of things we could look at. Of course, we can't be sinless in front of our children. We're not perfect. We're not asking or advocating that. But sometimes our reactions, sometimes our words, or, you know, maybe if, you know, I know to kids, sometimes we don't think things are big, but if we promise to do something and then we forget about it, well, the child's disappointed in that. That happens sometimes. But if I then, you know, I forgot. Honestly, you know, sometimes we forget things. But if I turn around and say, oh, I didn't make the promise. Well, that's no big deal. You can get over it. Well, okay, that multiplies the problem. That's just one little small example of a little detour that just makes them look and say, I know Dad said we were going to do this, and now he said he's denying it, and he's making lie to me and making me feel dumb. And, you know, okay, now we're going down a pathway of dishonor. So we've got to be careful in a variety of areas there. The necessity of the example, we just looked at that. And then let's look at some examples of dishonorable behavior or dishonorable deportment from the book of Proverbs. Let's go to the first one. What about when we display pride as a parent? Well, we've hit on that a lot the last 3 or 4 weeks in our Sunday school study. You know, we often are proudful as parents. It's hard for us to admit when we're wrong, and we fight it for a long time. Then finally we have to, you know, I asked the other day, a couple weeks ago, I said, you ever had to apologize to your kids? Well, sometimes when we are full of pride and don't want to admit we're wrong and know we messed something up, sometimes we have to go apologize. Well, here's in Proverbs, we find several examples that we're going to look at some negative ones first. Then we're going to look at some positive ones. We like looking at the positive as well. Proverbs chapter 15, let's look at that verse. Just slip a few pages over. It says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom and honor. Before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. What about the parent that can never admit they're wrong, can never ask for forgiveness, can never ask for advice or listen to advice, can never, well, I don't need to ask anything of my children, you know, I don't need their opinion. They're not worthy of consideration. I'm not saying children dictate the home, but especially when your kids get a little older, sometimes you got to start asking, okay, maybe they want to do something. We're going to ask questions and take their input about it and say, okay, well, here's the restrictions if you're going to do this, or here's what the conclusion we're going to make. We're going to discuss this and make sure it's good. I'm not saying, you know, children are running the home. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes we play this, well, I didn't come up with that idea, so we ain't doing nothing. It wasn't my idea. Well, that's just nothing but foolish pride. And when kids see that, when they see that pride, they get detoured. It becomes dishonorable to them. It's that spirit. Pride is like that spirit of know-it-all-ism, where you know it all. And I know in my experience, when I've ever had the know-it-all attitude, my wife's had to discuss with me that I don't know it all. You ever had that, men? Am I the only one? Kevin, put your hand up. You know, you know. He's like, no, no, never. You know, I mean, I've had it before, right? I'm right. And then Megan's like, yep, I'm wrong again. I'm always right. I'm dad. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, sure, we need to have authority. I'm not demeaning that at all. But sometimes we're wrong. And it's the idea that when we are wrong, we're not so proud that we just simply can't acknowledge that. And say, hey, I was wrong there. I'm sorry. Let's fix this. Let's move forward. Sometimes I've had, you know, and of course I could talk about this forever, but, you know, sometimes my kids have done some things that just really got me. And I get literally angry. You ever had that? Again, am I the only one? Everybody's looking at me like, am I the only one human up here? I don't know. I get angry. And I've gotten angry. And I had to go back and apologize for being angry. Now they were wrong and they're going to get a consequence and they're going to get this and we're going to deal with it. But boy, I was angry and I shouldn't have been. Because my pride was up here, okay? And then they see that, that's dishonor. I'm not cultivating in them a deportment that cultivates their respect. That's the idea. Let's go to the next one because I don't want to get too sidetracked tonight. What about lukewarmness? What about lukewarmness? Go to Proverbs chapter 22. Verse number 4. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and what? Honor. We're talking about honor. How do you get honor? Well, you get it by humility. We just discussed that. And by fear of the Lord. When I'm lukewarm, I'm trying to make the connection here. When I'm lukewarm about my reverential fear of God, our children see that. If I've got this little apathetic Christian life and it's whatever kind of thing and God doesn't care mentality, our children see that. I was dealing with Revelation chapter 3 with our students last week and we were talking about Laodicea, the lukewarm church. And I told them it's very interesting in that church that the Lord is on the outside of the church. Did you pick that up in that verse? He's standing at the door and knocking. We done kicked him out. We're so lukewarm, he's out there and we're in here just having a grand old time. And it's interesting, I told the kids, the word in the Greek for that knocking at the door is not a heavy knock. It's a quiet knock. And that's why he says, if any man, individual person hears that, which means you got to be listening, the Lord's knocking. I heard that amidst all the noise of the world that we've all brought in that we're doing and carrying on with. We hear that and we individually open it to Him. How do we break lukewarmness? We open the door to Christ. That's how. More of Christ. And we exalt Him in our life. And if we're lukewarm spiritually, then we're going to put a lot of potholes in the road. A lot of detours in the road here for our children. We're not going to cultivate in them anything that leads them to respect, which ultimately leads them to respecting the Lord. Here's another thing. Inconsistent decisions. Chapter 25 of Proverbs, a couple pages over, verse number 19. 25, verse number 19. Confidence in an unfaithful man. That means he's like this. This decision and this one is totally opposed to it. Is like a broken tooth. That's painful, isn't it? I've never had a broken tooth yet. I fully expect the older I get that I will have that. Or a foot out of joint. I do have a lot of feet problems. And they're painful and I can't stand it. And that's kind of, in other words, being inconsistent and unfaithful, it's a pain. You think, well, I'm always right. You know what? They've done surveys and all these things. Not that we follow surveys and stuff. But you know what? One thing, if you look at even students, you know what one thing that upsets them the most? Inconsistency. Changing the rules for this person, but not for that person. Showing favorites. Not following through. Setting punishments that are just unclear. All kinds of things that are inconsistent. They cause anger in children. You know, everything can't always be equal. Listen, everything cannot always be equal. But things should be just. We don't always have to be equal, but we should seek for just things. You know, I look back at my children, and half the time I can't remember from one thing to the next. But I tell you what'll make Seth mad is if I let Jared do something at age 16 that I didn't let Seth do something at age 16, right? Megan's like, yes. I was trying to remember. I was like, okay, Megan, when did Seth get his phone? Okay, he got it on his 16th birthday after he demonstrated with a Wi-Fi thing that he could handle it. I was like, okay. So I'm not going to give Jared anything. Actually, Jared had to wait till after 16. He had to wait till Christmas to get that. But if I had just went and said, hey, Jared, you're 15 or you're 14. Or Isaac, how old are you? Are you 13 now? Okay, I can't keep up. Isaac, you're 13. I'm giving you an iPhone 13 tomorrow, full everything on it. Boy, I tell you, Seth would run in through the house, beat Isaac to a pulp, probably tear paintings off the wall and anything else, and he'd throw a fit, a temper tantrum, like on Andy Griffith when Opie laid on the floor and was throwing it, and Andy said, well, just don't get your clothes dirty. Right. Anyway, I like Andy Griffith, but anyway. You know, it would cause a lot of problems, wouldn't it? Or if, you know, Seth is working really hard and works 35, 40 hours a week and goes to school, and he pays his school bill on his own. Jared, don't work, buddy. I'll just pay it for you. What do you think Seth would do? He'd put his hand around my neck and say, what? He wouldn't do that, but he'd be upset, wouldn't he? I mean, that's a silly example of inconsistency. But many times we're inconsistent. Maybe we don't realize it. You know, sometimes I've done things, oh, I didn't remember I did that with the other. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's fix it. Nope, I ain't fixing nothing. I'm in charge. Okay, there's that pride coming back up again. So we've got to be consistent in our decisions. Of course, they say, you know, oh, if you want to see inconsistency, look at my child. He has no room to talk. Okay, we're comparing our inconsistency to that of a six-year-old who's still growing and is immature. We're supposed to be helping them grow in maturity, and then we're the ones displaying immaturity and inconsistencies. And I'm going to repeat it again. Things don't always have to be equal, but we need to seek that they are just. We need to seek that they are just. How about this? You want to be dishonorable as a parent? Then have ongoing disagreements and strifes. Look at chapter 20, verse number 3. Here's our word honor again. We're looking for what's honorable. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife. But every fool, I love this word, will be meddling. There are some people that just cannot keep their nose out of stuff. They just got to sow discord, divide, put in my two, gotta keep it stirring, gotta keep it stirring. You know why? Because they're inconsistent themselves, so they want you to look like a moron, to make themselves look better. They want you to look foolish. But it's an honor to cease from strife. Sometimes I've been in conversations with people and I realize that they're getting very angry and strifeful and I'm just not going to respond to it. I'm not going to increase the strife. Let's just stop for a minute. You know, one of my favorite things I've learned is when somebody calls all angry and upset and whatever, I don't call them back right away all the time. I learned that one from Todd. It's a good one. The angry coach. And poor Eva's like, Todd, you may want to call. Okay, we'll call him back. Let me let him stew on it for a while. I had to do that last week. By the time I called him back, about 6 hours later, it was a whole different ball game. Sometimes you gotta let's just lessen the strife. It's an honor to cease from strife. But anyway, we're talking about parents. That's a different thing. If I always have this argumentative spirit of strife as my main mode of communication, that's not honorable. It's not. Oh, I'm going to get my way. And I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get it. If arguing is a way of life in our home, if arguing is a way that in the context of our life that is just constant and all the time, we got to be concerned. Strife, that word strife here in Proverbs chapter 20 has the idea of I'm going to promote myself in a quarrelsome way. I'm going to promote myself, but I'm going to stir up a huge problem about it. And sometimes we take things that are real small, right? And we just are, and we're going to quarrel about it. And we're going to make a strife out of it. Yeah. I've heard, I think, I don't know who said it. I've heard people say this. I know Todd said it before. Some things, you know, It's the hill we're going to die on. And the hill was like this. It's the anthill that we're going to die on. Really? It's really worth the argument and the strife and everything we're creating over some puny little thing that we've just, in our pride, we've got. It's my opinion and my selfish self-promotion that I'm just not going to back off of. You know, in the media today, and I don't watch a lot of these modern shows that are going on, but you know what they show? The home is argumentative all the time, and there's all these verbal aggressive stuff, and that the way the media promotes and displays the home is not what God wants the home to be. We need to find that in His Word instead of looking at, you know, TV shows and all this stuff. I'm gonna, you know, whatever, you watch TV, fine. But they're displaying, here's the relationship between parents and here's the relationship with the kids and all this stuff. We need to be going to the Lord's Word to do that. And let's not do this self-love thing. The Christian home should be a home that is not disagreeing and striving. It should be a home of respect. And if I as a father and mom as a mother are not encouraging respect in our own relationships and in the relationship with our children, then they're not going to. Next one, chapter 20, verse 7. What about deceitful and hypocritical behavior? Chapter 20, we're right there, go down to verse 7. The just man walks in his integrity. That means say what you say and what you do match up. What you say and what you do match up. That's hard for us a lot of times, isn't it? We could look at other verses, but I tell you, we sometimes have this hypocritical thing where we're this way maybe in this context, and we say and do this thing in this context. Guess who's watching the whole time? The kids. They see that. Same thing with students in a classroom. They see it. So it's being consistent, not being tricky and trying to hypocritically act and have a life of no integrity. You know, you could put a lot of things, you know, even Brad, I pulled one over on that guy. Yeah, don't say that in front of your kids. I mean, what do you think you're teaching them to do? Deceiving and deception, that I'm going to be one way here, but I'm going to really be tricking someone. And it happens in all kinds of things, like, you know, coming up with excuses for your child's missing homework, right? Oh, that's silly. Or doing your child's homework for them. Pepper's going like this. And then, you know, the kids claiming it's their own. What have you just taught your child? This. And you taught him it was okay. Is that honorable deportment or is that dishonorable deportment? There's many examples. You see it all the time on the athletic fields or in the gymnasium of any type of sporting activity. Sometimes you wonder, what in the world are you going to teach? What are the kids learning while they're watching the adults? What are they learning? Or, I really want a day off today, so I'm going to... Oh, my stomach hurts too. I don't feel too good. I'm going to call in sick. Okay. Your children see that. Just be honest, and you're better off telling your employer, I do not want to come to work today. Can I take a vacation day? But don't say, I need a sick day. I'm not feeling good. And then we're out playing golf 18 holes and, you know, going out shopping and doing all the fun things. I know those are silly examples, but your children are watching. Daddy's not sick. Daddy's out there, you know, having a great time, laying in the hammock in the sun, drinking lemonade, whatever he's doing. Daddy's not sick. Children are watching. Little deceitful things. They pick up on that. Now, we won't focus just on the dishonorable. We have a few minutes left. What about the honorable things? You know, if we are honorable, then the character and the behavior of honor is encouraged in our children, because one day they're going to grow up, they're going to have relationships. They're going to have maybe a husband and wife relationship. They're going to have father, son, or daughter, parent with child relationship, other family relationships. They're going to have those, and they need to learn to be honorable as well. So what are some examples of honorable things? Not just negative things, but some honorable things. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 2. Diligent detection. Chapter 25 of Proverbs. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. I don't know if Ms. Pepper agrees with me or not, but I think the number one issue that we probably face with parents is jumping to conclusions and making assumptions. My child said, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and I want this stopped. Oh, well, thank you for the opportunity, ma'am, for you to even consider the other side. I appreciate that. You mean my child might be lying? Yes, I have it on video. He's a liar. No, they aren't. Well, I'm sorry, ma'am. The facts are the facts. We make assumptions. We don't diligently detect. There's always two sides to every story. And I learned a long time ago in my inexperience that when I jumped to conclusions, a huge mess happened. Get all the facts mixed up. And then you're having to backtrack and eating worms again. We were talking about that this morning. Miss Elkins told me the whole poem. I don't know that I want to repeat it, but yeah, she likes to eat the worms, the squishy and good. Anyway, she was going to, telling me this morning. I told her she'd have to come up and do a recital for us. But search out a matter. Don't just jump to a conclusion. We need to keep digging till we get to the actual truth. Your children will lie. They don't. They're precious. They're always right. I'm going to tell you right now, when I was a kid, I lied. I was rotten. My mom beat it out of me. I still feel it. We have this, and again, it's a mindset that's taken over our generation, that we aren't sinners. And that's where it comes from. We need to remember one thing, that all children are born sinners. And all means all. Yours is not the exception to the rule. What's the beautiful thing? We get to tell them about Christ. And we get to tell them about the love of God for them and how He saves them from that. But we still need to understand we're rotten. Kids are rotten. We're sinful too. So trust. Can you trust your young person? Yes. But trust is only built by being trustworthy. You build that trust. Consistent things that, you know what, you say, you know what? I tell you, I've talked to parents before that their kids are out now and grown, and they've told me, you know what, I'm so blessed that God has worked in my children's life that we can trust them. They're out, maybe they're married now, or maybe whatever, and they're on their own job. That's a blessing. But it takes years of positive building for them to be demonstrate trustworthiness. And situations will come up in their life where they have the opportunity to choose trustworthiness. Trust is built by being trustworthy. Quick, we got to finish. The development of wisdom, chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. I'll just read it. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. Wisdom is being able to properly apply and biblically apply what I know. That's wisdom. And as we develop wisdom, that's honorable living. And then this one, we're there in chapter 26. Encouragement of respect. This happens by consistent teaching. As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so, in other words, it's snow is not going to come in the summertime, right? I don't know, maybe in Maine. Has it ever snowed in the summer? It has. It's not normal. Snow in the summer and rain during the harvest, at least to the Hebrew time. So honor is not fitting for a fool. It's not seemly for a fool. They don't go together. And then chapter 26, verse 8. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, or takes a precious stone, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. You're taking a precious stone, you're just tying it together with a bunch of random rocks and getting rid of it. Well, that's as dumb, as worthless as giving honor to a fool. It's a waste. So we need to encourage respect in our young people throughout these times. So these are some examples of honorable things, from being able to demonstrate trustworthiness and so forth. So how do we get the character, the behavior that we have in our lives will encourage respect in our young people, or it'll encourage disrespect? Do we love our children's future enough to change some of our practices that aren't the best? That maybe we're secretly not aligning with God's Word? so that we can encourage honor in their lives, so that we can be honorable as well? Two questions we have to ask ourselves to come to. And again, it's for them learning honor and respect to place a weight. And we have to have honorable living if we want to do that. Father, just thank you for, again, this study. Thank you for the things we've been able to learn from your word that are so practical to us. I ask, Father, that we would demonstrate these in our lives and our families. We fall so far short, Father, of your standards and what you want for us. So I pray that you'd give us wisdom and strength to seek this honorable living. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.